Not so long ago, politicians were falling over themselves in their attempts to ban Bitcoin. They were convinced it was only for nefarious, illegal activities like drug dealing and terrorism. But all of a sudden, it's all turned on a dime, as they say in America, and politicians are falling over themselves in support of Bitcoin. My question, Sam Volkering, cryptocurrency expert for South Bank Research, is how does it feel to be part of the political mainstream?
Uncomfortable is probably the best word to describe it. It's a tricky one because I guess one aspect of it is that you don't want something like this to be politicized because at its fundamental core, it's very democratic in nature in terms of anybody anywhere can access it, can use it, can contribute, be a part of it. And then you have it being used as a political football to gain votes. So it's somewhat become a bit of a popularist mechanism for politicians at the moment, it seems, to just get votes. If these are legitimate steps towards what I've written about for a long time, the idea of a circular economy with Bitcoin as a global reserve currency, a Bitcoin standard is a term that's used a lot, then that's, I think, ultimately a good thing. What you never want, and which it seems that governments can't likely do, but they will probably try, is to control the system itself. So I don't expect that that will be the case, but at least it seems like there are positive steps. It seems like it, at least. There are positive steps towards a greater appreciation and adoption of Bitcoin as a global reserve currency, which I think is a good thing.
It's been weird to see that first Wall Street and the legacy financial system sort of jumped onto the Bitcoin bandwagon, and now politicians have followed. Is that what's really gone on here? Is it because the mainstream financial system has taken Bitcoin into its arms? I'd sort of forced the politicians.
Yeah, I think if anybody was in any doubt about who really pulls the strings of government, then this is the most glaring example of it, right? Because it was Wall Street that made the progressive move towards producing Bitcoin-related products. I mean, they have their own reasons for doing that. Of course, they still want to make fiat money. They want to make US dollars predominantly. And so they saw this as an opportunity to do that, to offer products. It's a bit of a push and pull factor. They were getting pulled by their customers and clients saying, we need this. And they're also pushing and saying, okay, well, we want to be innovative and we want to remain relevant to our clients. So they came out with the ETF products. And they will expand on that with, I think, you know, the Ethereum ETF is now a thing. And I think they'll expand on that probably with the Solana one and maybe staking. So that ecosystem will grow within Wall Street and within the bigger financial ecosystem. And because they've done that, governments have stepped up, or at least certain pockets of government have gone, oh shit, okay, well, if our biggest contributors to funding and our political movements are saying this is a thing for us, if you don't get behind it, then, you know, that's going to be a problem. So again, it just illustrates that money of some form pulls the strings of government more than anything.
So we've made this claim that there's been this big reversal at the political level. Let's actually detail some of what's happened that makes that claim. I've got that little list here that we made before we started. The first one is this idea of strategic reserves, the idea that governments and central banks might actually add cryptocurrencies to what they're calling a strategic reserve. Can you take us through what this is actually about and what's behind the idea?
There is some suggestion. So Robert Kennedy Jr. has said that he would make it a strategic reserve if elected. And in that, his view is to add to the current holdings that the US government has. So the current holdings of Bitcoin that US government has is in relation to seizures of Bitcoin from exchanges, from hacks, from, you know, things like the Silk Road, which were illegal activities. So that's where their holdings currently come from. He wants to add to it to create, you know, this sort of war chest, I guess, of Bitcoin to underpin the economic state of the country. You know, if the de-dollarization of the US dollar continues, then there's, you know, legitimate reason to believe that an asset like Bitcoin will increase in value. So they would hold, obviously they hold gold as a reserve, and they would also hold Bitcoin as a reserve in a similar nature as digital gold in that respect. Trump has said he will not sell the Bitcoin they have. So that's not necessarily a strategic reserve policy yet, but at least it's sort of a step towards that in terms of that will remain as a reserve of Bitcoin if he's elected and he fulfills on that promise. His journey towards being crypto positive has been a quick one. It's certainly a very domestically focused thing because a lot of Bitcoin mining companies are American, based in America. And he knows it's a big, big vote getter because it's pretty much diametrically opposed to what the Democrats are doing. But even now, they're starting to soften up with the whole pro-crypto stance because they know that the way that the SEC has been very adversarial focused, which we've spoken about on this, we've chatted about before, it just doesn't fly. You're going to lose millions of voters and you're going to drive business out of America and to other places. And so it's just not an economically smart decision to be so against an innovative emerging market, which this still continues to be. And so that's sort of really where we sit, at least. The US is the big side of things because of the size of the economy, the number of people, and obviously the upcoming elections in November. You know, crypto is one of those things that is going to swing a lot of voters to one side or the other.
It's not just Kennedy who suggested this reserve idea. There's also a senator from Tennessee named Cynthia Lummis, and she's actually proposed revaluing the gold that's held at Fort Knox and West Point to finance the purchase of an additional 200,000 Bitcoin over 5 years. So her plan is very detailed. The interesting angle on this is the fact that we've often heard Bitcoin referred to as digital gold, and now there's this talk of revaluing gold, and there's also talk of gold-backed cryptocurrencies. It seems like this link between gold and Bitcoin just keeps coming up. Is that a coincidence? Is there anything deeper and more meaningful to that?
No, I mean it's just what it's what certain people believe it to be. And I mean, I guess that's fine. Some people believe gold to be money. Some people believe it to be just a defensive hard asset. And some people believe it to be worthless. You know, I guess the majority wins on that. It's much the same for Bitcoin. I don't necessarily believe it's digital gold. I believe it has aspects of that. We've said before, it has many aspects of different things, and it is in effect its own thing, and neither of the above. It's all of the above and none of the above, just to clear up anyone's confusion there. And so, look, yes, people keep pinning it to this idea of gold because it's the thing that they can most relate it to because you mine it and it's scarce and... I mean, that's about it, really. It's got a similar color scheme. I don't know. I get it, but at the same time, I don't understand this obsession with gold, which I'm sure people will disagree with me on. But that's, I don't know. I honestly don't know why people are obsessed with thinking that it's just digital gold.
During Trump's speech where he announced he was going to support Bitcoin, one of the things he said was that he would fire, I believe it was, Gary Gensler, the head of the SEC. No, the head of the SEC?
Yes,
or the commodities regulator. It is the SEC. Why did that elicit an enormous cheer from the crowd, which apparently very much surprised the former president?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've spoken a lot about incompetent people in positions of high power. And I mean, he sits atop of that food chain. The stance that the SEC takes towards the crypto industry comes from the top, right? It comes from directives, which be the head of the SEC, which is Gary Gensler, and obviously his puppet masters, which are the Democrats. So the SEC has been very aggressive towards the crypto industry in terms of trying to fit them in the decades-old box of securities regulation, And it doesn't fit. It's square peg in a round hole. His approach to crypto is befuddling, to be honest with you. And how he even still has, I don't even understand how Democrats can look at what he's doing in relation to trying to promote and enhance innovative industry. Of course, there are certain consumer protections and regulations that need to be in play for organizations and how things are done. But the aggressive stance in which they've taken towards that, it feels like it is very targeted in a very menacing way, because somebody above him has said, you better do this or you're going to get the sack. And how he hasn't got the sack, the only conclusion I can come to because of how poorly he's done his job is that someone above him wants him there because he is fulfilling the wishes of somebody else that sits in a higher ranking position than him in government. That's the only way, because he is so incompetent at how he manages the SEC towards, not just towards the crypto industry, but towards the regular stock market. And I'm not the only one that thinks this is the biggest joke of a head of a regulatory body in the world. You can find plenty of sources for that. So when Trump said he would be sacked, it got a lot of people happy, because people don't want to see such incompetence sitting in such a powerful position. So he would go.
We also had the German government selling its own Bitcoin hoard. Did that suppress the price much? Has there been any follow-up on that? Did it support the price once it's selling?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. They sold off a lot and the prices were low. So in theory, you go, well, they were selling, putting selling pressure into the market, hence prices stayed low. Then they stopped and the market went higher. At the same time, though, as the market was going higher, Mt. Gox was distributing out all of the Bitcoin that they were supposed to be distributing out. So everyone was like, oh, Mt. Gox is going to get distributed. Everyone's going to sell their Bitcoin. And they didn't. I'll give you a personal example. I got mine distributed and it's still sitting in my Kraken account. So didn't sell, guys. Which if you've been not even waiting, because people that had Bitcoin in Mt. Gox like myself, we never expected to see any of it again. So yeah, we got a distribution of it. But if we'd have needed that, I mean, we've been holding onto it for a decade. We're not even holding on to it. It's just been somewhere for a decade. So it's not like it's like this urgent selling of an asset because we have to or anyone has to. So that was a big thing, and that was just proven to be. Again, what you see is, that's a really good example of, you get these weird theories that come into social media and amongst the industry about all this, oh, this is going to cause havoc on the market. Then these things happen and it's like, that didn't really do anything. So the German government selling off, yeah, people say it caused price pressure, and then it didn't. And then we had the stock market crash, which we might talk about again. Was it a crash? I don't know. We had Japan melt down, which bounced back the day after. There were still fears in the market. Bitcoin's price headed lower because people wanted to sell. People need to sell assets in situations like that. So they sell what they can, not what they want to necessarily. So price has been volatile, but we're still like double where we were a year ago. So not that bothered.
I think it was the Nashville Bitcoin conference which really confirmed to me that Bitcoin had in fact gone completely mainstream. The people that showed up to this event is literally a who's who of American politics, American tech, American political donors. It feels like everyone was there, American celebrities as well, but that's probably not so relevant. It seems like cryptocurrencies have created some sort of their own lobbying group now, and it's become quite powerful. Does this mean that Bitcoin will be supported by government going forwards rather than just not being held back?
Everybody was there. Even the Hawk Tour girl was at the Bitcoin conference. In that situation, if you know, you know. If you don't worry about it. What was the question? Adoption, awareness. Yeah, look, I mean, it's one of those things. Bitcoin is mainstream. There are lobbyists, like there have always been Bitcoin and crypto lobbyists, because it has generated, you know, a lot of wealth, and that wealth looks to lobby people for their own interests. So you do get some, you know, OG Bitcoin maxis that have been, you know, done incredibly well, have made a truck ton of cash, that are, you know, donating to political parties to push for their own agendas, be that Bitcoin related agendas or whatever. It doesn't matter. So Bitcoin or crypto, the industry is a lobby group. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. I mean, lobby groups in themselves are weird, weird byproduct of government and our society, but they're there. They are what they are. And so, yeah, crypto and Bitcoin has a big part of that. And because it's created more wealth, and because these are increasingly more powerful people, the lobby groups have become more powerful in political sway. Does that influence political decision making? Yeah, it does. Does that lead us potentially towards the adoption of Bitcoin as things like a government reserve, or be it a Bitcoin standard? Yeah, it probably does. And again, this is something we've written about and spoken about for many years, is that you get to a point where between sovereign nations, they enter this, you know, there's this element of competition, where if one adopts it and all of a sudden starts dragging their economy higher because of it, then another does, and then soon, in order to remain relevant, they all do. This isn't a new idea. I have these books here on show for a reason, because when I first started writing this one in 2016, I was talking about this very idea that smaller nations that were progressive enough to adopt Bitcoin could lift their economies because of it. Some economies, having lived in Portugal now for a year, you quickly come to the realization that some economies, no matter what help you give them or opportunities are provided to them, will never be able to help themselves. So they won't always necessarily do that until after a bigger nation does it, and then they're sort of forced to because of. But that is something that we are now starting to see play out in real time, and it will take a number of years. But that's why I continue to say that we will get to that point of mass adoption, and it will becoming through governments, because to remain relevant, to remain economically viable, and to capitalize on economic opportunities, they will need to adopt crypto, embrace it, foster innovation and development, and adopt things like Bitcoin as a more regular method of payment, and has its own currency, legitimate currency, and maybe even as a standard. So that's the progression we're heading to because of all of this.
It feels like the big lesson of the last month, once you aggregate all of these news stories together, is that now that America has become so pro-Bitcoin at the highest political level, the chance of Bitcoin ever being banned or made so difficult to use that its price crashes, taxed in inconvenient ways, all of these sorts of worries that we've had for a very long period of time, those are significantly diminished, if not impossible, now that America's gone this way. Is that accurate? Do you think that's an exaggeration?
No, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, again, it's an example of what I said before, is that you have these theories and these fears that are perpetuated. And look, the idea of government banning Bitcoin has been around for well over a decade now. I mean, from the very outset of when people discovered what Silk Road was and how its payment facilities worked with Bitcoin, they were like, oh, government's going to ban this. So this has been a story that's, 13, 14 years old now. And they never have. And as I've said before, over the last decade, they can't. And again, this is that playing out, that, that was never going to happen. But it does give, there's more, I guess, solidified evidence to suggest that that won't happen now that there is a much more progressive approach to it. Now that the minute that the BlackRock Bitcoin ETF opened up, that was it. The idea of a government banning it now, I mean, at least the US banning it, impossible. As I said, it's that domino effect. Wall Street pulls the strings of the government. Wall Street says, we're doing this. The government says, okay, well, that's good. We're going to have to toe the line here. So they can't ban it. The government can't now go, are we going to ban Bitcoin? Because Larry Fink will be on the phone going, what the F, guys? You've just eliminated the biggest ETF launch and growth we've ever seen in entire product history. And now you've just basically put the noose around our neck. So that's just not going to happen. And now you see Russia starting to talk about using it as a trade facility payment method. Again, these are the things that China's alleged to have banned it. In reality, they haven't. It's still used and moved. And the idea that they will unban it, well, again, it's this news thing. It's like, well, it's not going to change much, but we're going to see it used more and more. But as I will say again, as I've said many times over the years, the government's not going to ban it. Never was, never will, never could, and won't.
Yeah, I think the thing we've learned, though, is that other governments won't even bother trying because the Americans have turned pro Bitcoin. So I think that takes even local smaller scale bans off the table. Sam, thanks very much for updating us on some extraordinary sets of news in the cryptocurrency world. I'm surprised this day has come. I'm surprised that the government's gone so outright positive on Bitcoin, that they've turned against the legacy regulatory system and Gary Gensler at the SEC, to that extent. It's as if I'm always fascinated by how politicians can just do a 180, can flip-flop, as the media like to say, without having to really justify themselves or explain themselves. But apparently it's perfectly normal.
If they can make money.
Thanks again, Sam.
They'll change their mind.
Yeah, it's all about donors, isn't it? Thanks very much for joining us.